Hi, it's Charlie Connolly here. I write every week in the New European on books and literature and great European lives. If you'd like to enjoy more from the New European, you can join us by subscribing at theneweuropean.co.uk/subscribe. That's theneweuropean.co.uk/subscribe. Great European Lives from the New European. Sevi Ballesteros, 9th of April 1957 to the 7th of May 2011. There aren't many golfers who have played a shot so brilliant, so miraculous even, that a plaque is installed on the spot from where it was played. But then there haven't been many golfers like Sevi Ballesteros. Even at his best, it would have been a remarkable shot. But when he arrived at the 1993 European Masters at Cannes-sur-Sierre in the Swiss Alps in September, Ballesteros was having a bad year. Not just a dip in form, not just a bad year by his standards, but outright bad. Enough to plummet to an unprecedented 71st place in the European Order of Merit. He'd made an indifferent start in Switzerland, but by the time he teed off at the 18th on the final round, Ballesteros was on the back of five consecutive birdies and racing up the leaderboard. His chances of catching the leader, Barry Lane, were slim, but not out of the question. Another birdie would at least be enough to seal second place. It was a par 4, 410 yards, challenging enough. But when Ballesteros swung his 3-wood from the tee, the ball veered right, coming to rest among pine trees 130 feet from the hole. That wasn't his biggest problem, though. His biggest problem was the 8-foot wall a few feet away, between his ball and the green. His caddy, Billy Foster, saw the obvious way out. Chipped the ball sideways, put himself back on the fairway, next shot onto the green, and a good chance of making par. Ballesteros pursed his lips, dropped to his haunches, and looked up. "There's a gap," he told Foster. "An opening between the branches no bigger than a dinner plate. Hit the ball hard enough through that, and he'd clear the wall and have a chance of making the green." Foster thought it was lunacy. "Why?" snapped Ballesteros. "Why should I listen to you? Why do you put doubt in my mind? You're the caddy. Carry the clubs. I'm the player." Ballesteros selected a pitching wedge and addressed the ball. He looked up at the opening in the foliage that was almost directly above him, looked down at the ball, exhaled, and swung hard. It was this kind of raffish self-belief and willingness to attempt the impossible that saw Ballesteros win 87 tournaments, including 3 Opens and 2 Masters. But his place in golf's pantheon is about more than trophies and statistics. Sevi Ballesteros brought such panache and charisma to golf, as well as an almost unprecedented talent, that he changed the entire face of the sport. He hauled the European game from safe, gin-soaked, cliquey complacency into a thrillingly glamorous spectacle. Dragging Nick Faldo, Bernhard Langer, Ian Woosnam and Sandy Lyle with him, Ballesteros turned the Ryder Cup into a proper competition, worthy of a global audience, rather than the cheery, foregone conclusion it had become. The Ryder Cup is a major event in the sporting calendar today, largely because Ballesteros turned it into one. He exploded onto the scene at the age of 19, taking the 1976 British Open at Royal Birkdale by the scruff of the neck and leading it for the first 3 days, until older, more experienced heads caught up on the final round. The teenager still tied for second place with the great Jack Nicklaus and saved arguably his best shot of the tournament until the last hole, a daring chip from a tricky lie that ran perfectly along a narrow strip of grass between 2 bunkers and onto the green. Watching at home in the US, Lee Trevino leapt out of his seat, cheering this sheer audacious brilliance. 3 years later, at Royal Lytham and St Anne's, the claret jug was his, clinched in typically unconventional style. Of the 72 holes, Ballesteros only hit the fairway from the tee 9 times. Most famously of all, at the par 4 16th on the final round, he managed to drive his ball into a temporary car park. A 90-foot pitch with a sand wedge not only got him out from among the Ford Granadas and Austin Allegros, it left him just 20 feet from the flag. He sank the putt to retain his 3-stroke lead with 2 holes to play. In Switzerland, there was a puff of dust. The ball rocketed into the clean mountain air, shot through the tiny gap in the foliage, cleared the wall, and dropped onto the fairway, 3 feet from the edge of the green, 30 feet from the flag. To the spectators, it must have appeared as if the ball had landed from outer space. In golf terms, it effectively had. It was a shot he had no right to even attempt, let alone pull off. For Ballesteros, the job was still only half done. Between the pin and the ball was the edge of a bunker. A low chip cleared the sand. The ball bounced a couple of times on the green, ran to the left of the flag, then, at the last moment, gently curled around and dropped into the hole. A 6th consecutive birdie, from 2 consecutive shots pulled from the far side of genius. The Spaniard roared in triumph, roundhouse punching the air. While it looked as if Ballesteros was returning to the top of his game, the failures of 1993 were only the start of the decline to come. The bad back that had always been an issue became a much bigger problem. But it was only one factor in a decline startling in its rapidity. Between 1976 and 1992, Ballesteros was never outside the top 20 in the order of merit. Between 1996 and 2001, he never once made it into the top 100. Watching a sporting genius go into decline is never easy. It's also unimaginable for mere mortals to experience. For the best in the world, the realisation that you're anything less must be crushing. When self-belief and hope are no longer enough to fuel the body, a waning of greatness played out in public is as heartbreaking as it is humiliating. There were back operations and repeated talks of comebacks, but in the years leading up to his official retirement in 2007, he was a shadow of the brilliant player that had transformed an entire sport. The beaming smile that rounded his cheeks was rarely seen, as his once youthful features became drawn and gaunt. "I miss the feeling of being in contention," he said in a rare candid moment during the early 2000s. "I still know how to play. I just can't hit the ball." A year after retiring, he collapsed at Madrid Airport and was diagnosed with a brain tumour. There were operations and chemotherapy, and even occasional hints of a comeback. But 3 years on from his diagnosis, and 4 weeks after his 54th birthday, Ballesteros died in a Madrid hospital. "I wish there was a tape of all the shots he hit," said his friend and Ryder Cup teammate José María Olazabal. "Then we would really know how special he was. He was the one that broke down all the barriers, all the walls. I don't think anyone comes close to him." The plaque at Cran-sur-Sierre is possibly the only one in the world dedicated to a single golf shot. But it's about much more than a puff of dust and a ball landing 1 chip from the flag. Yes, it's about the audacity, the swagger, and the self-belief required to pull it off. But it's also about innocence. It takes an innate lack of cynicism to attempt something so outlandish. A faith in providence as much as one's own ability. It was a shot forged on the beach at Pedreña, the fishing village on the northern coast of the Basque Country, where the youngest of 4 golfing brothers would leave the cramped family home above a barn where they kept their cows, dragging a cut-down 3-iron behind him, spending endless hours hitting pebbles until the sun set over the Atlantic, and he could hit them at the moon instead. Great European Lives is brought to you by The New European. It's written and presented by Charlie Connolly, and the series producer is Steve Anglesey.